Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Darren Deedy with us tonight. We don't have Darren.
We have Michelle.
Who?
Hello, Dr. Walker, Sister Marjorie.
Sister Marjorie, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Good evening to you, Pastor Roland, everyone. God bless you.
Oh, excellent. Let's go ahead and start first with Sparkles. Did we miss anybody first?
Yes, Ricky to the rescue.
Ricky to the rescue. Thank you for joining us. We're glad that you're here. We're going to do the best that we can with what we're working with. So we're going to also ask that if you all have some background noise, I'm trying to figure out this new system from Florida, and it's not going to work very well for me, perhaps. So if you got noise in background, please mute yourself. Please be so kind to do that. All right, so let's go ahead first with any updates on the organization Community Tribute. Ms. Sparkles is doing, she's our community, our new community outreach coordinator. So let's go ahead and bring some updates for what your sponsorships are doing in the community. Sparkles.
Yes, good evening, everyone. So this is the announcement on stuff of what we're doing. I think to those that weren't on last week and all that stuff like that, we did mention about a young lady at the Y that didn't have the attire and so forth and all that. So we helped her with an umbrella and some shoes to cover her feet when it's raining and a poncho and a bag and all. But also, I would like to announce a new thing that we're doing. We're getting ready to show some love and appreciation to all of our co-hosts. So what we're wanting to do is if two out of the five shows that we do every weekend, every other week, so a total of five, and all, if co-hosts can join in at least two of those five shows a week, we will put your name in a pot draw, and someone is going to win a $10 gift card. So this is for the co-host. So we're going to start tonight, and also if you join in two shows, preferably more, out of the five, okay, within a two-week period, your name's going to go into a pot, and we're going to draw it, and you might just be that lucky winner for a $10 gift card. Secondly, we are going to do a kickoff starting today, which is going to go for a month, and this is for co-hosts, if you can invite two people, to join in and listen in to the show and all stuff like that. They must announce their names and say who invited them. That's all they have to do, and they can just put themselves on mute and just enjoy the show, and hopefully they will gain some valuable information and improve their relationship. So that's the second part. So we're asking co-host, invite two people, okay, every week to join in to the show. If they do join in, they must announce their name and who invited them. And that's all. And then we will put your name in a pot as well. That's going to go for a month. And then whoever the winner is of that is going to get a gift card. And those are the announcements for this week. And I will do this every week in case there's someone that's coming on that's not on tonight listening. So thank you, everyone. Enjoy the show.
All right. Thank you for that update. Just before you go, Sparkle, I want to ask anyone, does anyone have or any questions relative to what she just said? Because she will be the one that's keeping up with the names. And then we're going to ask for a backup. All of you all can also keep record of when you come on and so forth and so on. Any questions, anyone?
Tell me again the number of times you have to be on the show to get your name in it.
Okay, so for the co-host, strictly just for the co-host, okay, it's at least be in, participating on the show at least 2 times, okay, for 2 weeks. So, you know, 1 week we do the Thursday, Friday, and then the following week we do a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So at least 2 out of those 5. If you can do more than 2, that's great, okay? But at least 2.
Okay.
All right. All right. And also, that is starting tonight, everyone. And I have taken roles, okay? I wrote down people's names and they said they, you know, welcome themselves.
Right.
If there's someone that's on as a co-host that I didn't get, please say your name now.
Candlestick is here. I was late.
Oh, hi, Candlestick. I'm adding you to the list.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Thank you for that, Spark. We certainly do appreciate that. So that means, and it doesn't have to be 2 consecutive times. Like you're on tonight. If you miss tomorrow night's show, if you come back next Thursday, that's your 2 times. It doesn't have to be consecutive. So that's all it is. And then your name goes into a pot. So if, for
okay.
example, go ahead.
I'm going to say on the Saturday show, because I listen a lot, but I don't announce myself. So,
right.
How'd that go?
Right. Well, so on the Saturday show, if you we will probably just have something where if somebody wants to participate, they very well can if they say anything. Even if you're on in that morning and you just say good morning and you introduce yourself, Miss J, I will know that you
okay.
were there, and she will take that, and that'll be fine. Just good morning.
Okay.
This is Miss J. That way. So it's not 2 consecutive. We're trying to make it real easy. And then if you've invited someone and they've been on, how many times is it for the guests, Sparkles?
For the guests, we didn't put a number on the guests and all, but it's going to be running for a whole month for the
guests.
Yeah,
it's a whole month. If they come on two
shows.
Yeah, if they come on 2 shows for the month, their name will go on the pot. Yeah, for the whole month. That's a guess if you invite someone. All right. Let's go on with Ms. J. If you'll give us the disclaimer.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The show intent is not to push any denominations, religions, or traditions, but to share knowledge and experiences with no offensive or negative tone. We are here solely to address tonight's topic based on our own individual subjective opinion, bigger or less than a believer. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and let's get ready for this program tonight.
All right, great. Thank you for that. Since we went through the disclaimer and update, did any of our other co-hosts join us at this time? If so, please announce yourself. All right, perhaps not. So tonight's topic is, how do you know for sure when you are in love with someone? Just how do you know? I mean, you call yourself being in love. You say, I'm in love with this person. And you don't mind telling your family, your friends, I'm in love with this person. How do you know for sure that you're in love with that person? Let's go over here and let's start with Mimi. Let's start with you. Mimi, how do you just give me one thing before we read tonight's story that you're in love with this person?
When you know that you're in love with the person, you're open with them as far as, you're vulnerable. You tell them everything, and you know you won't be judged. You're totally honest with them, and you just want to be with them and, you know, let them know everything about you, and you want to know everything about them. So it's just an open, vulnerable, honest relationship.
All right. We're going to actually stand by. Rick Terrestre, I'm going to bring you in here. And Sparkles, this will also keep you apprised of the missing names that you're writing down. Rick Terrestre, I mean, you're trying to get to know a person. You want to know everything about them. Does that mean that you're in love with them? Because you've got situations out there where people are really, really nice, and they're in a relationship. But, and it could be, let's just say, for example, the guy is a real nice guy, Jack and Jill dating. Jack's real, real nice guy. They've been together 2 years, and he loves everything about Jill. He treats her like a queen. But Jill is really, she's not in love with him. She loves her ex-boyfriend, whom they're not communicating, but he made her feel, it was something about that guy that just, she can't, she can't move on, but she's not even communicating with him. So, I mean, that's a sad situation because Jack's a nice guy, but sometimes you just don't love him. What's that about, Rick Terrestre?
Well, you can actually like or even love parts of a person, but that doesn't truly mean you love the total person. So there's different things that a person can do and provide for others. It doesn't matter if it's financially or socially or however which category you want to put it in. But the bottom line is you need to be fulfilled in certain kind of ways or you want to feel a certain kind of way. And so oftentimes when you are in a situation and you hear someone say that they can't get over their ex, it's not anything that the ex necessarily did. It's the way they made them feel.
That's a brilliant way of putting it. Missy, I want to go to you here. Before we read tonight's story, Miss A, I mean, Jack's crazy about her, but she's just not feeling him, and not even communicating with her ex. But it's just that man, like Rick Terrestre, she felt a certain kind of way, and he was a bad boy, the ex.
You know, you can't force love. You know, Jack just wasn't giving her that feeling of that desire that she needed to feel him, and if that bad boy did it for her, but as long as she feel peace and relaxed and feel that this bad boy may meet up values and make her feel like, you know, I can feel alive, I can see myself with him, I don't have any questions about how I feel about him, but with Jack, it seems like she do. So, you know, my thought is if you don't have any questions about the relationship, you ain't feeling, you know, even-minded about it. Don't call it love. Say, I might have a crush on him or I might have some feelings for him, but don't just use that word love until you really get that right feeling.
Okay.
And she don't have it.
She don't have it. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by tonight's characters. How do you know for sure when you are in love with someone? Xavier and Yvette. Now, Xavier and Yvette have been married for the past 11 years. They're both 34 years old, and they're college graduates. They have two children, ages 9 and 11. Now, during their initial stages of marriage, Xavier and Yvette were inseparable. Unfortunately, the past 4 years of their marriage has taken a downfall with a multitude of unusual problems. Now, one of the things that happened in their marriage is they both became complacent and not making each other a priority. In fact, it's to the point now that they question their love for each other. Recently, prior to them going to sleep, Xavier initiated a serious conversation with her while they were in bed together. He acknowledges the fact that their communications in the marriage have not been on par and the love for each other appears to have dwindled down a great deal. Now, he began to express his genuine feelings about her and told her that he is not sure whether he is still in love with her. Reluctantly, but not surprisingly, she expressed the same feelings about him. In other words, their feelings for each other had gotten to a point of mutuality. They were both feeling like they're not in love with each other. Now, it's been 3 months. So Yvette and Yvette asked Xavier what he thinks they should do about their situation. He suggested counseling. She agreed and set up counseling sessions for the following week. It's been 3 months now with the couple attending counseling, but has not been effective in any manner. They have come to the conclusion, they have come to the conclusion that the love between them for each other is simply no longer there. Now, Xavier and Yvette pointed out several identifiers that they feel are important when it comes to being sure when you're in love with someone. that's obviously plaguing them. They say that they have 10 identifiers here. They say, one, you continuously have a strong feeling of or desire to be with that person for years that will never end in terms of your thinking. In other words, you got a strong desire that that's where you want to be. They include it. Your communication is an important factor in your daily function. Love is about knowing what love really is, to include how to love. These are all things that came up together. Love is forgiving. Love is kind. Love is emotional. Love is understanding. Love is passionate. Love is accepting each other's flaws. Love is the strongest force on the planet, they said. Love is meeting the intrinsic needs of the person whom you claim to be in love with, and you desire to love him or her in that way, in addition to the way that you desire to love him. Now, that's important right there. They mentioned intrinsic needs. Love is meeting the intrinsic needs of the person whom you claim to be in love with, and you desire to love him or her in that way. In other words, love them the way that their nature, the intrinsic nature of that person is, in addition to the way that you think that you're supposed to love them. Love is a commitment to that person. Love is protecting each other at all times. Love is having the chemistry to be with that person. Love is being equally yoked or compatible. The list of their concerns relative to love goes on as they fell asleep talking about it on another occasion. In the final analysis, after having multiple counseling sessions with several different marriage counselors, Xavier and Yvette concluded they were no longer in love and their marriage was irreconcilable, and agreed to move on because they were sure they were no longer in love with each other based on their identifiers of what love is supposed to feel or demonstrate. Let me go up here now, and I want to come back to you, and I want to ask this here. Did they do the right thing? I mean, they got two kids.
Do the right thing by breaking?
By ending their marriage.
Yeah, so what's interesting, I don't want to know what happened in those sessions. I will say this. I've actually turned people down in the respect of some people come with an idea that counselor is going to fix their situation,
right,
where it's not necessarily a fixed situation. Like, you have to actually want to be a willing participant and a part of the process to be an agent of change. So, meaning a person could, you know, or a couple could come to you and they already have in them their mind is not going to work and they don't want to move forward and they expect for it to be fixed. And so if you look at it from there, if they went in and did mediation, that's something a little bit different. And so if we're going to ask the question, did they do the right thing, I'm really more concerned is did they seek the correct service.
Right. Now, they were
I'm just speaking in the terms of mediation. Because
right,
if they went to a mediation, that would have been different from counseling. And so it really depends on the mind frame that they was in. But if they're adamant that they're not going to work and they're not going to move forward, there's no service that's truly going to help them at this point.
Well, certainly I agree with that there. Ms. Cassandra, I want to bring you in here. and ask that very question. But you, it's almost like you, can you really pick love? If Jack is no, if Jill is not really in love with him, or Xavier in this case, and Yvette, they're just, it's not, Can you fix that? Can anybody fix that? All right, perhaps Cassandra's on mute. Let me go to Miss Jade. Miss Jade, your thoughts on that?
You know, no. If they're not really in love, they can't fix it. But I'm going to go back and read it. My question when you talk about was, were they really in love 11 years ago? Or were they in love with the thought of being in love? And what was their reasoning for getting married? A lot of times people say they're in love for different reasons. You know, both of them educated. They got good jobs. They could see they live, you know, could live good. Maybe that was it. But as time went by, they probably started understanding a little better what love was and say, hey, this is not love that we have. So they went to the counselor, made the counselor help them to understand a little better. And now they probably understanding love and whether we have this love that, you know, how love should be, and they come to the conclusion, no, we don't. So if you don't have it, no, I don't think they should stay together like that, you know. They'll probably end up being the best of friends,
right,
and take care of the kids.
Right.
So as a man being married because of that, you can still love the person, but not necessarily be married to them.
I think that that is very good, sound information that all of us are presenting tonight, because it's like, I mean, when you really have know what love is, it's not, I mean, it goes really, it's an, and to me, this is just my opinion, like everybody's expressing, it's such an embedded feeling that it's like, my gosh, man, I can't even breathe without this woman good if I'm too long without her. I mean, and the woman is feeling like, man, I haven't heard from him in the last 3 hours. I wonder what's up. Well, the man is working. But still, you know, you're just desiring that. You know, you want to get a text. Hey, girl, if you're a teacher, you're sending, you go there and you go to your desk and you pull out your phone, you know, discreetly, and you're sending your wife a message or your girlfriend a message like, these kids are getting on my nerves today. They act like they done had some kind of drug that they off the chain today, something. And then you send a little happy face or a smile or something. And it's like, I can't wait till I get home to you. I mean, something. So let me go here and bring in Demon Slayer. Are you there? All right, perhaps they're on mute. Okay, we called Cassandra earlier. She didn't come on. But let me go to you
now.
Demon Slayer. And Demon Slayer, the question becomes, you know, I mean, if you break up, if Xavier and Yvette break up now and become good friends, could they reach a point where they realize that, hey, maybe I was in love with her. Maybe I was in love with him. Because now they have other people. And now they start to make comparisons. What do you think about that?
I mean, it could happen, but I want to say that I went to see my aunt. Of 90 years of age, like 2 weeks ago, and just looking at them and talking about their marriage and being through all the ups and downs that they went through, man, all the things that love can benefit, and it's a beautiful thing when you can last 65 years of marriage and just listen to the words of wisdom from them, man. You can learn a whole lot about love, because it's not gonna always be that you love that person. You really love a person when sometimes that you hate that person. And some things that don't go. A lot of people always go back, okay, we're not equally yoked or we're different. But sometimes when you're different, you can learn different things from when you're so different from each other. You ain't got to be exactly the same way with each other just to have that many years of marriage. And that's what I learned, you know. And mm-hmm. The advice I would give them is just to, you know what I mean, work through it. If you really love that person, you can't live without that person. You can't breathe without that person. So, you know, just because you're going through a rough patch, it's not going to be always honeymoon time all that time. The real marriage, it starts when all the honeymoon stuff is over and life starts to take charge into that situation in that relationship.
All right. We're going to actually stand by. Candlestick, I want to bring you in here. I don't think we have Darren Deeding on tonight, do we? All right, Candlestick, I want to bring you in here. And
okay.
Candlestick, I mean, I know of people who dated multiple people, men and women, you know, dated multiple people throughout their lifespan. And it seems like they were just, that was their career, dating. And then they meet somebody that they feel that they're in love with. And after a period of time, it just, because they done dated so much, they don't feel the in love feeling for the person that's real nice to them, that's really good for them. Do you think that, I mean, do you think it has anything to do with their past experiences of dating so many people?
Yes, it may. Well, it may have, because sometimes you know, like I guess I look at that like if you're trying to pick out a pair of socks and you got 100 colors, sometimes you have too big of a variety. That makes sense. You know, you set yourself up because there's so many different things out there, and you see something in this person and that person, and you can't put all those pieces into one person. And so I think it is, you know, it is detrimental to the relationship. But I wanted to also comment on because my first marriage, I married my best friend. And I married my best friend with thinking in my mind that I would learn to love them because we used to go out together. This was a date during the times when I used to get high, we used to party. We had such a great time together, and so he wanted to marry me. And so I'm like, sure, you know, and I was 21 years old. And I'm like, you know, we're getting along so great like this, so then I can't help but, in my mind, I think I can't help but fall in love with him at some point. But it never worked. I didn't fall in love with him, and I was very saddened because he was a very good man. But if you don't love someone, when you say that, you know, for getting married or whatever and think that it will come, that's the wrong reason to marry someone. At least it was for me because it never came for me. And when you were asking, you made a point about, do you think these two may eventually get back together, you know, because they have been married. I agree with Jay. You know, what were the reasons why they got married in the beginning? And that's what made me think about my marriage. You know, was it a partnership? You know, was it a friendship? You know, they thought that they could fall in love with one another one day. And, you know, they were playing house. And they realized, and I commend them for talking with one another and realized that, hey, you know, and they were, felt like they respectfully came to that agreement together.
They did.
And so, like Ms. Jay, yeah, like Ms. Jay said, they'll probably end up being the best of friends and to be the best parents, you know, to their children. But the marriage itself.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Jay, I want to bring you back in here now and ask the question this, along the same lines. Do you think, and before you respond, I want to say a comment as well, and the question is, do you think multiple dating can hurt your chance of when you think you're about to settle down with someone and have a monogamous relationship? And just before you speak, I do want to say this here. I think, like Candlesticks has just said, I agree with that. I agree with that because having had multiple partners that you were, you know, involved with, I think it makes this is just my humble opinion, you all, a strain on any relationship because now you're thinking about some of the good and bad and some of those prior relationships. So now, and you can't help it, but you start to compare things. It's like, dang, that woman I was with before, she didn't do this. Or that man I was with before, he took care of this. And then it's like chemistry said, you're not going to find everything that you had with all these multiple people in any one person. So it almost gives you like a personality disorder. Ms. Jay, what do you think? It does. It really does.
Yes, I agree with you and what Candlestick said, because I don't want to call the person a damaged person, but a lot of times, you know, they done had such bad experience with the trust and the crazy experiences they supposed to have, and, you know, what was happening, they missed the point about how to love and what love was all about. Seemed like all the relationship wasn't really concentrating on that, but they had it for other reasons, most likely. You know, that's why I didn't last, so they weren't trying to strive for love, not if I'm crushed, lust, or whatever mine's in. But, you know, communication is so important. This person, I feel, need to put down their walls. Just start over. Get to know it, to know that person. Find out about that person. See how you compare with that person. You know, calm down, get your facts together, and just, I think if you get with a good person other than one you've been dating, you might start to realize, you know, love exists. So I won't say it can't happen where they can't fall in love with a person after dating 100 people. Yeah, they find a fine at one. But they got to put down their walls and thoughts about the past and experience the future and be more open, you know?
All right. We're going to actually stand by.
I'm going to comment.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
You know, and thinking, you know, on the line with the Bible, you know, as far as, you know, we should not have sex before marriage and, you know, we shouldn't, if you're single, you shouldn't fornicate and so forth. And I used to think about this years ago because, you know, they had the term people make love.
Uh-huh.
And I think making love is different. You and I and Shay was agreeing. You know, when we're out there, male or female, you know, sleeping with multiple people, even though it may be at different times and not be at the same time, like you said, we begin to compare. So if we don't allow, you know, if we went according to the word, you know, and not have sex before we're married, then we don't have anything to compare it to that those two people will make their type of love. You know, they can't, you know, say all this other stuff. Well, like you say, you know, he didn't do this or he wasn't the right person or, you know, blah, blah, whatever. And that's when it becomes, I think, more sacred.
Yeah.
Because you don't have anything to compare it with. You, what mm-hmm. you are making as a couple, you are making it work for the two of you.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point, a very good point. Cassandra, are you there? I want to bring you in. Okay, so now the question becomes like now, I mean, this thing about in love. I mean, Cassandra, do you want to grow in love with somebody just because the guy is nice? I mean, is that, it's like, if I'm not in love with you, I don't want you to grow in love with me, and I'm not trying to grow in love with you because that's not it for me. Cassandra, talk to me.
Okay. I do agree with you with saying there, Dr. Walker, because I've seen and have heard, you know, I've never been married, okay, first of all. I desire, but when God's timing for me, then it'll be so. And you all are welcome to come. But anyway, I've heard of so many people have said, you know, well, I'm not in love with him, I'm not in love with her. But, you know, we married now so we can grow. But I promise you, less than 10 years, 5 years, they were divorced. And so, no, I would not want to marry someone that I'm not in total love with because I'd rather wait and we grow beforehand when that love comes, then that will be the time. And if that's what God's will is, first of all, if that's God's will. Because if it's not, it's not going to work. You can play the role and all this type of thing and like someone mentioned earlier, play house and all this stuff, husband, wife, but it's not going to work. It won't work. And that's why God said in his word, it's best for us, hold ourselves, and I'm paraphrasing, hold ourselves, if you will, and, you know, wait until we get married because he honors marriage. He doesn't honor the bed. He honors marriage. Who's the marriage in the bed is under the house. Come on.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to stand by. Yes, Ms. Jay, go ahead.
Quickly, I just want to add to what Sandra said. No, you don't grow in love, but once you are in true love,
yeah.
love will grow, and it will deepen, you know. And I feel that, you know, a lot of people say, you know, the honeymoon lasts a short time. The honeymoon should never end if you're in a true love. The honeymoon will continue. I was with my husband 42 years. I still have butterflies after 42 years from his touch and the things he said. And he even told me, I love you more and more every day. That's what you want to hear. You know, it wants to grow. But you don't love a person and say, well, we'll finally grow in love. No, it has to be in love, and we'll stretch truly in love.
That's a very valid point that we are all making, mm-hmm. that you all are making tonight, and I certainly respect that. Sparkles, I want you to come in just before, if you'll make a note. We have an upcoming show, if you'll make a note on it. The dangers of dating, of being involved with multiple people, the dangers of that, of being involved with multiple people. So we have a show that's coming up on that particular subject, and I can speak from experience on that one, the dangers of it. And being involved, dating and being involved with multiple people, even if it's not the same time, like Candlestick said. But it's a serious danger in that, because I'm just giving a little tidbit of it. It's very difficult to really know if you're really in love with someone, because you can get bored easily. You can get bored with somebody easily. And that becomes your custom of having so many people that it's almost hard to find satisfaction. And just before you come in, Spark, because I want to go to Rick to the Rescue. Rick to the Rescue, give us your tidbit on that, what I just said, that we have an upcoming show on. The dangers of being involved with dating and being involved with a multitude of people.
Well, I definitely think when there's a multitude of people, you actually carry over energy. And so whatever energy that was created in previous situations, or even if the situation is current and there's multiple people at the same time, you are carrying that energy over. And so that can be spiritual energy, it can be physical energy, however you see so fit, in which, however you believe, but you definitely carry those experiences over, you carry those memories over, you carry the thoughts over, and just the experiences in general.
And that's a very good point that you make, because even Solomon said, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And I think I can understand what he's saying, because it's, you know, after a while, it's like, okay, I've been here so many times with that, and that when you start to take on one person, it's like you can become very bored in that relationship, male or female. And it's like it's hard to... That animal that you tamed, that you thought were tamed, meaning yourself, you know, sometimes you're not tamed. You're just not disciplined with it like you thought you wanted to be or that you thought you are. So, Sparkles, let me go back to you for a moment and ask you, I know we got an upcoming show on that, but in this case here, that in-love feeling is like, it's almost like, how do you know for sure? You just know that this is the person that I can say to that of all the, you know, if it's a woman, she says, of all the men in the world, this is the guy for me. This is him. This is the guy. And that man can say the same thing. I want to breathe the air that she breathes. Sparkles, what is this? I mean, tell me about it. Have you ever had that?
I thought I had. Obviously, I didn't. I'm divorced. But as I reflect back and all that stuff like that, and I'm much older now, but I don't think that I did have it. More of a lusting or whatever and all, but not a deep, deep love like it should have been. And also, I do believe that if you're truly in love with someone and all that stuff like that, that really care for them, they're always in your thoughts. You're always thinking of the best for them, not for yourself. You're wanting the best for them. You're wanting to do for them, to please them. Not so much always about, never to be about you, but about that other person. And I think it should be reciprocated among the two and all that stuff like that. So that's my thoughts on that.
Okay. Mimi, I want to bring you in here. Mimi, do you think Xavier did the right thing to initiate the conversation that he's not sure that he's still in love with his wife? Do you think he did the right thing by doing that?
Someone had to face the facts, and by him being the man,
it was good that he initiated it. It shows that he respects her enough to talk to her about it versus just doing the opposite. Their communication was still open. I believe he did.
So are you saying to me, Mimi, that the man, even though they were both feeling this way, that the man has to take the lead to initiate it?
No.
Okay.
I didn't say he had to take the lead. He took the lead, which was great that he did.
Okay. Okay. So even though Yvette was feeling the same way, I mean, why would a person, let me just ask you, why would a person stay when they know that they're not in love with them? They know that they're not in love with them. I mean, and we all say that there's multiple reasons, that convenience and so forth and so on. But aren't you being unfair to your own self? Aren't you really being unfair to your own self? And you get one life to live. What do you think about that, Mimi?
Well, you are being unfair to yourself. But like you said, they had two young children. So her mindset could have been that because they have the kids, he just, you know, he stayed there. However, since he initiated the conversation, she agreed with him and they came to a mutual agreement.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Am I missing anyone that's on the line that I haven't called by, part of the team? Okay. Missy, I want to go back to you and ask the question. Missy, if you were in Yvette's situation, knowing that this is how you feel, but you're just going along to get along, do you think you could find the nerve to start that conversation one night, knowing that it could possibly hurt your husband's feelings?
You know, her communication skills, I'm just thinking right out, she's not as an extrovert, probably just speak out and say it, and she timid. She probably wants to say all this, but didn't know how. So, you know, it's good that Xavier was able to do that. But I feel at some point, Yvette would have done it. I really feel, because she was feeling that way. But Xavier just, you know, I commend Xavier and say, what a man. I like that. Instead of cheating, he wanted to talk with his wife, even though that they had the communication issues and stuff.
Right.
But he wanted to talk with his wife.
Right.
I totally agree with Jay.
Yes, yes. Ricky Rescue, I want to bring you in here. Ricky Rescue, how is it dangerous? When I say dangerous, I mean, maybe that's not a good word and you will figure it out, but is it dangerous to, you know, hold on to something that you're not really feeling it? It's like, okay, I'm getting up and going to work. I love my husband. I love my wife. I got to do this here. I got to take kids in. And it's like a routine. And they were only married for 11 years. And it's like, you know, there's more to life than this.
It's interesting that you mentioned that there's certain kind of ways in which the brain functions. And there's a such thing that's called crystallized intelligence. And there's another such thing called fluid intelligence. With your crystallized intelligence, that's when you recall information and you store information and you react based upon your experiences. So if you create a habit of doing something, it continues and you're training your brain to do it that way. Whereas if it's fluid intelligence, that's your reasoning, your problem solving. And the interesting thing about the fluid intelligence, it kind of peaks at 20 when you get around 20 years old, and then it gradually declines, right? So now keep in mind with your fluid intelligence, this is your ability to like pivot and try new ideas and try, you know, different things. And so when you're in a relationship and you start experiencing something that's new and you never had it crystallized or you never learned on how to pivot or do something different, guess what? You revert to what you're comfortable with what didn't work before. And so you continue to keep doing what didn't work before and blaming the person as the problem versus looking at yourself and saying, wait a minute, did I pivot? Did I change? Did I try something new? And the older you get, the actual worse it gets, because you just recall your bad experiences or you recall what didn't work and you focus more attention on that versus trying something different, because when you try something different, you're probably doing something that makes you feel be uncomfortable.
This is that's very valid points that you mentioned about those two styles. Give it to our audience one more time, the names of those, and especially the spelling of the last one, so that they'll get that for their own research purposes.
Yes, so there's fluid intelligence. Fluid spelled, of course, like fluid, L-U-I-D, intelligence, and there's crystallized intelligence, C-R-Y-S-T-A-L-L-I-Z-E-D. And so there's, you know, there's a lot of information you can find about that. You can Google it. You can read about it more, but it's exactly what it sounds like. Crystallized, think about it as it's kind of embedded. Whereas fluid means it's an intelligence that continues to
be. Very good. Very good. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, this is a very serious issue. When we talk about love, you know, initially, you know, like he was saying, in those early initial stages, you become Google-eyed about a person. But then you begin to find that the chemistry may not be there. The chemistry just may not be there. You decide, oh, I got with this lady because she's beautiful. But then, lo and behold, you know, you're into a relationship 6 weeks, 3 months, and you're hoping for change. But then the woman is boring or the man is boring. You know, and you begin to realize this, and just like he was saying, with the fluid, you start to look back and you're saying, you're recalling now what it was like with some of these other exciting relationships. And because that's part of the danger of multiple relationships, because it's like, gee, I enjoyed that woman over there. I enjoyed that man over there. It was like, oh, my goodness. You know, and so you start to settle. You start to settle. And I want to give you all a point here. I know we're running out of time already. You all want us to go just 10 or 15 more minutes? Is that okay with everybody? Yay, nay?
Yeah.
For those that can stay, okay.
Yeah.
For those that can stay, we'll go to 8:15. For those who can stay, we'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Because we got a lot of comments that are coming in also. A personal friend of mine, we worked together for a number of years, almost 10 years, in the school system. And she told me one day, she had her last husband she married, which was, I think, her number six husband. And the woman wasn't even 50 at that time, but that was her number six husband. The only husband that she really loved was the number four husband. The number four husband, yes. And so the number five husband was actually a friend of the number four husband. He was a friend. He was always there, but he always had this Google feeling for her. He had this, you know, was really into her, and he would even flirt with her, knowing that her husband at the time was his friend, and she never did tell her husband, but he would always flirt with her. So her husband, number four, ended up dying. The only husband of the four that she, at that time, had been with, that she really truly loved. She really loved him. She found love after all those years with him. He eventually died. They had one kid together, and that was the only kid she had ever had. And then she says 4 years into the marriage, she ended up marrying the man who was flirting with her because he was there day and night for her grieving. He never gave her time to mourn the loss of her number four husband, who she had the true love for. She never got the time to mourn his death. He smothered her with so much, oh, can I do this here for you? Let me take care of this. Let me take care of that. Being that fixer, he thought. And so 3 to 4 years into the marriage with him, she woke up, she said, one morning, and she told him, I'm sad to say this, and I'm almost giving a direct quote of what she told me. I'm sad to say this, but she says, I don't love you. I'm not in love with you, and I have never loved you. She said, I come to the realization that you smothered me, and I never got a chance to even mourn the death of the man that I really love. And she says, I want out. And she divorced him. She divorced him. And then because she had been accustomed to having men, multiple relationships, 2 years later, she found another man. She told me, she says, hey, I'm getting married. Okay, there it is. And I'm not judging them, but it's like, boom. And then I heard through the grapevine, she divorced him. So Missy, I want to bring you in here. Missy, he found love. It's because he got through three of these marriages, found it in the fourth one. He passed away, unfortunately. And then she went on to five and six. And, I mean, what's going on in
your
life?
She didn't want to be, you know, she had her reason. It wasn't love for number five and six. That's for her. Her reason was, Father, I don't want to be alone. Or like you said, the guy smothered, but she had her reason, too. She said, well, I probably need somebody. I need to be with somebody. And that's the wrong reason, you know. And some reason, people try to stay with people even for that reason, knowing you're not happy with them, you know. But you're like, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I'm just going to stay with them anyway. And, you know, that's the wrong thing to do. If you see it ain't working, well, you're making yourself unhappy, and the other person probably going to be unhappy because you're going to stand some pain. So it's sad to say she had to go for five more times after her love. But what
happened
to number six? Is she still with him?
No, she divorced. I heard through the grapevine that she divorced him too.
Well, she's gonna get number seven because it sounds like she just don't want to be alone.
Don't want to be
so
alone.
She's searching for number four again,
yeah.
But she'll never find number four again.
And sometimes it seems like you're searching for love. You're just searching for that
yeah.
love that you once had. I want to go here now.
It.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, and then I was saying she getting all the ones for all the wrong reasons. Just don't want to be alone. Gotta have that man. But bless her heart.
Yeah, I mean, bless her heart. That is so important. So we got a number of comments that have come into the studio that I really want to get to. And let me begin by going to Richard to the Rescue. Richard to the Rescue, but before we get to the comments, let me just ask you this question here. Do you think that this lady that I was telling you about that was a friend of mine was still trying to get to that love in number four that she really found what true love was?
Yeah, and I feel like she may have just been chasing a ghost. When I say chasing a ghost, sometimes you do something that really doesn't exist and you create a mind that you want to have. And when you do that, you appreciate what's in front of you. And I think when you start that, and I think this is what kind of into her, you're almost programming your mind into something you want to create. And so if nothing is perfect, you have to learn this.
All right, very good point. We got some comments that are coming in. Demon Slayer, I want to start with you. Demon Slayer, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Demon Slayer, this male writes in. He says, I can't speak in turn for anyone else relative to tonight's topic. How do you know for sure when you are in love with someone? He said, but I used to think that love was only a feeling on how you feel towards someone. Now I realize that love is much more than having a feeling for someone. It's about making a commitment to that person. What do you think about that, Demon Slayer?
I think it's a lot, man. I think love is something that you got to learn, man. And I've learned so much by listening to my elders and people that's been in love and been married for like 50, 60 years, man. That's thrilling that you can get to advice from it. You know, it's not easy. Love is not easy. You know, you have to keep on working on it. But if you really love a person, just stick by them to thick and thin. That's what I've learned from my elders.
We're going to actually stand by. Mimi, I want to go to you real quickly here. Mimi, and I'm talking past you all because we're running out of time. I have, these people were actually my friends. I never counseled them, but they're my friends. They've been married for about 42 years. About 15 years ago, I saw them at Walmart. And, I mean, I know them very well, very, very well. And I said, hey, love couples. And the guy said, we're not love couples. We're not, he says, I don't even love my wife. I'm not even in love with her. And she was standing right there. And I looked at her like waiting for her rebuttal to probably hit him or stab him or something. And she said, well, he's telling the truth. We're not a loving couple. We don't love each other. I haven't been in love with him for years. They right there to me. And I say, okay, I'm I'm puzzled and shocked because I went to their wedding. And I say, well, what keeps you all together? And he said, it's just Jesus. That's what he said. He said, Jesus keeps it. I say, so the Jesus that I'm thinking that I know is about love. And you all are not in love with each other? And they were both serious. I don't understand that. And these people, you're thinking that they grow deeper and deeper in love, like Miss Jay talked about in her marriage. But, I mean, here it is that these people are saying, he come right out and say, I don't love her. I'm not in love with her. I just, you know, it's Jesus keeps us together. I mean, does that make sense to you? I'm just trying to understand.
No, it does not make sense. They're just tolerating each other, and they're very unhappy, and they need to get each other out of misery and go ahead and get divorced.
Wow, wow. And they don't even have, like, sweet names for each other? All of these years, he's never called her honey. She's never called him sweetheart. They just call. Missy, I want to bring you in here.
It has to be miserable.
It's got to be. Missy, I want to bring you in here. Missy, if you're with a man for a while and he's still calling you by your first name, are you offended or is that okay because that's your birth name?
You know, you call me sometimes, but if that man really loved me and adored me, he still did me. You know, it to me it's automatic when that love just come out with them sweetness.
Uh-huh.
And if he just called you, he might call you Miss sometimes, but I'm like, what kind of love is that? You know, hey, Miss, whatever his man name is. You know, that's crazy.
You know,
I can't be unhappy like that. I bet they had separate rooms, separate everything. What's the point of being married?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. And you know, I mean,
what's the point?
I mean, I would be offended if I'm with a lady for a period of time and she's calling me my first name. I mean, anybody else call me? You calling me my first name? That's
yeah,
like
you saying, sweetie.
Huh?
Hey, sweetie, that's Dr. Walker right there. You know, sweetie or something. You know,
uh-huh.
I love. You know.
I mean,
never die if you choose to love. But like I said, people get married for so many reasons, and they ain't getting there for so many reasons. And you know, who knows? You know, but who wants to be unhappy all their life?
All right, this next comment. Cassandra, we're going to give you this next comment. Are you there?
I'm here. I was going to say something real quick about that when you were digging the comment.
All right, go ahead.
But, you know, if something happened to one of the other, could have really done something, could have made each other's life more meaningful. Even if they weren't in love, it's okay to say, okay, I love you. You understand what I'm saying? To make them feel like somebody, feel like a person. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
If they say, but go ahead with
this next comment that's coming in, and that is so important what you're saying, because I can't understand something like that. You're together all of these years, and I've never seen them. And in fact, we used to attend the same church. That's how well I know them. And I've never seen them hold hands. In fact, he walks off and leaves her. And sometimes she'll say, well, have you seen my husband? I said, well, they're having fellowship dinner now. He's in there. He wouldn't even sit down and wait to eat with his wife. And because it was at a church setting, she tried to at least put on a good front. And he just, I mean, it was crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, this next comment, Cassandra's for you. Female, she says, I think women fall in love quicker than men do. And unfortunately, we sometimes think we're in love when it's probably likely to be lust. Sometimes I don't think any of us really know for sure when you are truly in love with someone else. Because I mean, how true is that?
Well, that is pretty, well, not, I wouldn't say for everybody. I wouldn't say for everybody. But that is typical to happen. That does happen. That women do tend to, because we all have that mothering figure as the female, the caring, that can easily happen. You know what I'm saying? To not to say just, you know, go out there and be harsh or whatever, but I'm saying to be with someone that you really care, be a more feelings toward them. Most men I've known, they're more kind of skeptical and want to kind of pull them to the side. And some of them also, men, are still looking because of that lust nature of men. Women, too, But with the love part, I think women do tend to, you know, lean more toward the loving part of a man, especially if he's one man that that's a caring man and, you know, just a good, wholesome man, that a woman look for those characteristics out of a man.
All right. We're going to answer.
That would make that woman, too, love that man. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Let me go here and give this comment. Now, we're just about running out of time. We want to go ahead and, Ms. Cross, are you there? Ms. Cross?
I'm here, Dr. Walker.
Okay, Ms. Cross, you give, let me give you this next comment and then give us your commercial break, and then we'll go to Ricky to rescue for his commercial break. This male, he writes in, he says, unfortunately, and when it comes to this nice topic, how do you know for sure when you're in love with someone? I think people can't identify or define the word love, what love really is, and think because they initially feel that someone is nice to them, they become caught up in thinking that this is love. How sad is that? Ms. Ross, how sad is it that because somebody, you think somebody is nice to you, that that's what love is? And then give us your commercial break, followed by Reach the Rescue's commercial break.
Okay, yes. It's very sad because love is something that, you know, when you know the person, it's like you have a special feeling about them. When you talk to them, you have that special feeling. And, you know, the way you care about them and the way they care about you and, you know, little things that they say to you and little things that they do, that should show you that they love you. Not just to say I love you, but show you that they love you. Okay, I'll go to the commercial. Okay, my name is Marjorie Allen Cross, and I'm with a company, two of the most important companies around. In our company, we have over 150 products that may be able to help you with any health condition. And you could reach me at 786-319-7223. Again, 786-319-7223. Or you could visit the website at betteryourself.info. Again, betteryourself.info. Thank you, Dr. Walker. Great show.
Excellent. And good evening, everyone. Again, I am Ricky to the Rescue, founder of A Path to Greatness, LLC, located here in Decatur, Georgia, where we provide life coaching services to those who are in need. We also have mediation services. I know in the beginning it was kind of mentioned to see which service may be most appropriate for the situation we're discussing tonight. If you need to reach out, you can call at 404-968-9940. Again, that telephone number is 404-968-9940. Or please visit the website at twogreatness.com, spelled with the number two, twogreatness.com. Thank you for that.
All right, thank you. All right, we've got three more comments that we'll take in. Just, well, who wants to close us out tonight? Can we get a volunteer?
I can do it.
Okay, Ricky to Rescue, thank you for that. We'll give you time to step back. Okay, let's go here now. Let me bring in Sparkle. Sparkle, here's a question for you. How do you know for sure when you're in love with someone? Some people view love as simply a decision. For example, even in your marriage, when experiencing marital problems, the parties will at some point have to make a decision on whether to fix it, leave it, or let it go completely through divorce. What do you think about that if you're not in love?
Well, yeah, if you're not in love, then you shouldn't force it and make each other miserable and all that stuff, because if you're not in love with someone, your actions, you're going to do stuff. You're going to say something. Your actions are going to be of disrespect all across the board and all that stuff. So why put yourself through that and all that stuff? Leave. Start anew. Ask God, you know, if it's his will and desire to grant you another chance and opportunity with someone else and all that stuff. But after leaving or whatever, I say that you just need to flood yourself with self-care, self-love before you jump into another relationship.
All right. Thank you for that. Missy, I want to bring you in here. Missy, what if Xavier and Yvette had a religious belief of such that their religion then believe in divorce if it weren't for adultery or some other type of abuse. And they're not in love. But they're hanging in there for church purposes because that's what they believe. But they're not in love. What do you think about that?
You know, people do that for religious belief. And if they can hang in there and be happy or unhappy, you know, I don't know. Because I couldn't see myself being so, I don't know how unhappy they were. I think they just, I don't know. I just don't know. I just couldn't be in a religion that dictates to me like that, you know, about my life. You know, that I cannot divorce for no reason. Because even though he wasn't abusive, it's abuse to me not to have that love and affection itself in your household. And you don't communicate well. It's just torture in the home.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But can I say this right quick? Just a couple of things I want to say, then I'm off. I was John Nelson Lopes. I want to tell everybody what I see what love means. And I found this in the dictionary first, but anyway, it's a strong, key word, strong feeling, a warm, key word, personal attachment, or deep, key word, affection, strong, warm, and deep. And it's shown with, this is my fault, it's shown with appreciation to the person, enjoyment of the person, the devotion to the person, the friendship with the person, passion, the yearning, the respect, the cherish, so many things that combine with that love. And love is such a powerful word. It's a noun, an adjective, and a verb. I guess we all knew that, right?
Yeah.
It's a powerful word to be all of that. Verb when you say, I love you. Noun when you say, my love for you within. And adjective, he had a love affair with somebody, with Jill or whoever. So that word is so powerful. So it can be used in so many ways, misused in so many ways. And I just want to end with this quote, and then I got nothing else to say. Love is that condition in which the happiness of another person is essential to your own. That's what love is. You're more concerned about making that other person happy than even making yourself. And like they said on this movie, the mad black woman, whatever it is, Tyler Perry, I love it. I'm
praying
for him more. Yeah. That she said, I pray for him more than I pray for myself. And that's what love is about. You put yourself second, and you everything is for that love for that person. You don't put yourself second where you let it go, but to express your love to that person. You just care more about their happiness.
That's
I just want to say that.
That's beautiful, Miss Kay. I met a lady today at an appointment I went to. She was a new receptionist at this doctor's office I went to here in Florida. And they introduced her to me, and I presented the show to her. She says, oh, you do relationships? I said, yes. And she says, I was talking with the doctor, and we were saying something, just catching up. It was chiropractor. And she said, I say, well, make sure you go home and tell your husband this, right? And she had on a nice ring, and I assumed she was married. She says, listen, I'll do anything for that man. I say, really? She says, yes, I'll do anything for that man. I love him so much. I thought that was remarkable. And the lady looked like she was maybe in her early 30s. And she said, I would do anything for that man. And she said, in fact, when he retires, I'm going to take care of him. Just like that. And I'm like, wow, that is beautiful.
But you know what another key word is?
Yes.
Mutual.
Huh?
Mutual feeling.
Mutual feeling.
You're
absolutely right, because I'm sure her husband feels the same way about her. And I just thought that was remarkable for a woman or a man. If a man said that, you know, that I would do anything for my wife. I would do anything for my husband. I would do anything for my significant other. So let me just go. This is where Rick the Rescue comes on. I want to bring this part in, and I want to go to Demon Slayer real quick. We're almost out of time. Those friends that I had, the husband was more of an introvert, and she was too. She really, both of them were more introverts. But that woman was one of the most gorgeous women that I had ever seen. She's from Central America, Belize. And she seemed so committed to her husband, but she was absolutely gorgeous. And she had sisters that are also gorgeous. But her commitment to her husband, even though she didn't love him, and he treated her, I think he did this on purpose. He refused to let her work. He told her he didn't want her to work. So they lived very humble lives with very minimal means. I mean, and she never had anything, not even enough money to get the things that a woman desires to have. She's never had a name brand anything. Not that she was into that, but she just her self-esteem was of such to please her husband that it seems like she lost herself and her beauty. And she's still, I mean, one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. And yet, and her husband, you know, no disrespect to, I mean, they were almost the same height. I'll just put it that way. And he never showed any affection towards his wife. And she desired affection. You know, she desired affection. She said, I mean, she used to say to me, she says, if I weren't married, I would come after you. You know, and I just, you know, then play into that. But she was so beautiful that it's like she was just living her life and it was just going to waste. I recently visited them in Florida, and let me tell you, she is so unhappy. She is so unhappy for all of these years, and he still, she says, he doesn't show me any love. So, you know, and it's like I can't even say I'm going to pray for them or anybody because this is what they've done. So, Ricky, the rest of you can touch on that when you close this down in just a second, but we got just another comment here. Mimi, I want to go to you with this one here. This male writes in. He says, my thoughts on this being in love for sure is when you know that you can't be without that person and all you want to do is be around that person day in and day out. And being around him or her is more than just for intimacy. Mimi, what are your thoughts on that?
When you really, truly love a person, you do want to make sure that their needs are being met and they'll make sure your needs are being met. You just love being around them. You just want to like breathe the same air. It's a mutual thing. It's almost like you feel like a kid. I just want to be with you, you know, to help each other out, to do things with each other, to have fun. They be your best friend, your buddy, your pal, everything.
All right.
Yeah.
We're gonna ask, I would agree. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to give the last comment over here to Candlestick. Candlestick, are you still with us? All right. Last comment to Candlestick, and then Ricky to Rescue will close us out. But before Ricky to Rescue closes us out, if Sparkles, you would just give the name so that we don't leave anybody out on tonight's show after this comment. Okay, so Candlestick, this party writes in, this female, she says, I thought I knew what love was a long time ago until I met a man 2 years ago, and my eyes were open to what true love really is. I'm in my late 50s and have now discovered what love really is. Love really is about friendship and liking the person that you claim to love. It's clearly more than just a feeling. It's where your treasure truly lies. Candice, what do you think?
I think she's spot on. I do, because I think we can, I can speak for myself, that I think sometimes we tend to get caught up in, I think Rescue kind of mentioned this earlier, we get caught up into the image or what we think love is and how it's supposed to be, and we're just chasing the goat, and we may end up missing what is right in front of us. And I can admit that I had did that with my own husband for a while, because I was looking for something that didn't even exist in this relationship. And it dawned on me one day that, you know, you really love this guy. Because it was, she's spot on.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Someone, you got noise in the background, you mute your phone. Sparkle, just quickly give us those notes, and then we'll, Ritual Rescue will close it out. Please.
Okay, so the co-host that I have listed for this evening is Mimi, Demon Slayer, Miss Cassandra, Pastor Roll, Sparkles, Marjorie Cross, Miss J, Ricky to the Rescue, and Candlesticks. Have I left anybody else out? Dr. Walker.
Demon Slayer.
Yeah, I said Demon Slayer. Hi, Demon Slayer.
So.
That's okay. I got you on here.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So we will go ahead now and Ricky to Rescue, close us out. How do you know for sure when you are in love with someone. Here's the rest of you.
Yes, and there were so many great points that were made today. I tried to take note of some of the points and try to combine it all in one. But if you have to ask yourself if you are truly in mutual love, notice I said mutual love with someone. The very first question I think you need to self-reflect on is, do I love myself? Because if you love yourself, you're going to love and nurture your own intrinsic needs so that you become an expert on articulating your needs to someone else. And so I'm not talking about, like, your needs being things you like, such as money or physical touch or some of these other things that we like to harp on. Your needs align with your values, your purpose in life, and your goals. So, like a quick exercise you could do is you can identify your values, you can identify your purpose, and communicate your goals, and you can actually put it down so it's on paper and you actually have a visual. And if you can't discuss your own individual purpose, how can you have a purpose in a relationship? Because relationships are like a puzzle. Like, you connect parts of you and your energy to the parts of others. So once you put the puzzle together, it becomes like a crystallized or learned experience. So no matter how life comes in and give us these different experiences or try to break that puzzle up, you've already learned how to put it together because, you know, there's different things that will come to pull it apart or pull you apart or pull your energy apart. But once you learn how to put it together, it'll be easier to come back together. And so when we're asking these questions about do someone love us, it's really a sense of going into being able to look within yourself to see if those parts, especially with your values aligned, because I know it was mentioned earlier about religion, right? We know religion is a value. They could just be one part of that puzzle. There are other things that go along with it. And so you have to make sure that it's in sync. And a lot of times what happens is we are in relationships, but we have different puzzle pieces, meaning the puzzle pieces that are supposed to be in our one box, we have two different boxes. And a lot of the times we have to get on the same page by aligning those purposes and those values. And you have to communicate it. And so I think those are some good techniques to actually look at when you're trying to focus on if someone is loving you or if you are in love. It's more so of looking at what you truly need.
Brilliant. What a brilliant closing. And just for the record, you know, Mimi, you'll give the data on tomorrow night's show. At the beginning of tomorrow night's show, you'll give the data for the information tonight. How do you know for sure when you're in love from your research? Is that okay, Mimi?
That would be fine.
Okay, great job of closing out tonight. Ready to the rescue. I want to thank all of you all for being a part of this tonight's program with the extended portion of it. And thank you for your patience. Tomorrow night, if you'll join us, the assurance of God's love for us. And that will be followed by Saturday morning for our International Divine Intervention Day program. We hope you'll join us. But, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's program and Saturday's program, we'll be back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Until tomorrow or Saturday, or until sometime next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. 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 Good